This is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to another Baby Hour. I'm your host, Carolyn M., and I'm absolutely delighted. I have a wonderful guest with me today, Marika Fino. She's a former London financial trader, and today she's a leading financial empowerment specialist for women, and she's based in Portugal. And we're going to be talking today about a subject that we don't often talk about. It's financing for the new baby. Hi, Marika, and welcome to another Baby Hour.
Hello, Caroline. Super happy to be here. Thanks for inviting.
Okay, we're just going to go straight in, and we're going to say, like, when do you start planning financially for your new baby? Are we talking before conception? Are we talking when we're thinking about conception? When are we talking? When do we start?
So I would say like the earliest possible, but again, it depends on people. Some people need to already like kind of think about conception and so on in order to be able to imagine what it would be like. Some others are queens of planning and so on. So yeah, I would say as early as possible, but again, depending on your mentality. The thing to know is definitely having a baby is a life event. It's definitely a change. So the key here is awareness. We need to know in order to be able to have options and to act. So it's not necessarily about making a plan as such, but just knowing the options. And especially for a first baby, it can be hard to kind of project yourself. So yeah, just knowing will enable you to erase a lot of stress and just go with the flow.
Okay, so first of all, so like you say, so you do a bit of homework. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Do a bit of homework, check on, look online, check on. And then maybe do we start by opening an account? You know, in different countries, obviously, there's different tax, tax variables where one can save on taxes if they open an account. And some countries, obviously, they actually do pay. When a couple has a baby, they put a certain amount of money in an investment plan, which they can get when they're 18. In various countries, I know this happens. So how do we start? Do we start by thinking about opening an account for the future?
So you could, and this is a really interesting option. As you said, you can save taxes, and it can cost any fees that your child going to experience, like uni costs, for example. And what's good in these accounts is that first you can give like a low amount, maybe 50 euros or 50 pounds each month. So it's not going to cost you like a fortune, but over time, of course, it's going to grow. And second, because your vision is long term, because it's probably going to be when your kid is actually 18, you can take a bit of risk because you have a long term horizon. So again, that would boost your performance. And saving on an account won't be enough because you're going to be bit by inflation. So definitely you need to invest that money so that it grows. But for me, before even opening this kind of account, which again is a super good idea, for me, it just opening the discussion even with your partner. And having a money discussion is super important because there's a lot of expenses that are going to be implied.
You're going
by
to
the
incur
baby.
A lot of expenses that you're not, first of all, so you got to kind of write down what you're going to incur the expenses in the first place. And it's quite interesting because I was talking with a lady, we're talking disposable diapers against non-disposable diapers. Mm-hmm. That was one of the shows that I made quite recently for Baby Hour. And the cost of diapering or napping a baby until they're potty trained, I was shocked. We're talking like $4,000 to $5,000 if you're using disposable. And if you're using non-disposable, we were talking like about $500, and they can be reused for your next child. Yeah. I mean, that's when you think of it in this sense, in the money flat dollar sense, that's an awful lot of money. You know, I'm sure you could use that $4,500 for a lot better purpose than for diapers.
Yeah,
for
no, 100%. And everything like adds up, that the thing. So really, in order to avoid a difficult conversation later on, or either when the baby's arrived, definitely involve your partner so that you know what the other person thinks. Are they in line with you? What do you agree on? And again, there's no right or wrong answers on how you split expenses. Can be 50-50 or proportionally to how much you each earn. So, but the only thing is that it needs to be addressed. So for me, that's number one. Making a bit of homework.
Okay, and the other thing is we've got to really think, usually these days, both partners are working.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes one, it does, these days it's quite difficult. Usually still, it's mostly the male partner is earning more than the female partner. Although it's getting more, it's hopefully it's getting a bit more even nowadays, but it's still mostly, and a lot of couples still choose that the female partner will stay, you know, at home for the first part of the, you know, after the birth. So we've got to think about this as well. Like, how do we put money aside for the period, whether it be 3 months, 6 months, or 1 year, when our income is going to be a lot smaller than it would be, you know, generally? How do we plan for this eventuality, you know, this part of the, you know, what do we put into action for this part of the plan?
So again, I think the first thing to do is, depending on your country, like, what is the law? And if your country, maybe let's put in the UK, for example, is going to be 6 weeks minimum maternity leave. But then companies can get like better, like a better way of dealing with you. So yeah, just check what's in the policy, either through your company or through the state. And then again, it's a dual decision, a couple decision in a way. So how much can the mother, how much can the father like be off for, and what the pay? And then once you know what's available, then you can choose, actually, this is not enough, I want to stay longer home or something. And then it's another discussion with the partner, because of course, if you're off and you're not having like a subsidy from the state or something, then actually, yeah, as you said, your income gonna drop. So that needs to be addressed as a couple, and maybe you can get like half of the partner salary. I mean, there's lots of options that you can consider, but again, opening discussion and discussing so that your views are aligned.
Now, this is another question. Are there any kind of like life policies that you can take out when, as you become a couple, I don't know, and, you know, over the 5 years or so before you decide that you want to have a family, is there any kind of like insurance policies or anything that you can take out for the event of the baby? Or, for example, there could be maybe one of the parents dies or something like this. I mean, we don't, obviously, we look to the best, but we have to, you know, we hope for the best, but, you know, it can turn out the worst. Is there any way we can insure ourselves, you know?
Definitely, yeah. So for life insurance, definitely, if it's pretty common, again, it depends on the country where you live from, but definitely it's pretty common for adults. It's way less common for babies. So you can definitely, as an adult, insure yourself in case of death or in case of incapacity to work. But then I know there's a few solutions which exist for babies, but yeah, way less common.
No, it's just, what I'm trying to say is so that the baby will be provided for if anything should happen to the parents.
Yeah, exactly. So that definitely
a regular kind of life insurance policy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, I mean, we've got to think right away then when the mom or the dad, as the case may be, is returning to work, whether it be 6 months or a year or whatever the period of time is. Now we've got to weigh up the child costs against the working. Now this is another thing that maybe you can help us with, Marika. Maybe you can give us some tips. How do we weigh it up? You know, obviously we all want quality for our child, you know, we want them to go to the best daycare center, but it's very difficult. The best daycare center might cost us more than we're earning. So mm-hmm. what do we do in this situation? How do we research this? How do we know how much percentage we should be paying, you know, in order to make it worthwhile for us to return to work or whatever?
Yeah. So like research is number one. So definitely have the options open, especially as I said, if it's your first kid, it's pretty hard to actually know what you want, whereas he's not even born. But definitely there's options like nurseries or nanny or even shared nannies. Just know how much they cost. And then just check around you, people who already have children, how easy and realistic is it to actually have one of these solutions? Because I know in the UK, for example, a nursery, you need to nearly plan when you learn you're actually pregnant. There's such a long waiting queue, it's crazy. So again, depending on how easy and realistic, then you can make your choices. And I would say, and daycare for sure costs a lot of money everywhere you are, don't compare necessarily daycare with your current salary, because maybe it's gonna impact the way you think, in the way that normally your salary, especially if you're committed, motivated, if you're really good at what you're doing, maybe your salary gonna increase in the future, because when you have kids, you're still pretty early on in your career. So yeah, don't compare how much the care is costing me now versus my salary, because the daycare not gonna move much in 5 years' time, whereas your salary may increase. So again, for me, include the partner, because it's not your cost, it's the couple's cost. So
okay,
it's not a question of my...
Obviously, they say that the salary of a woman when she's having her first child, it's kind of, her career generally kind of flattens off for a period of time, maybe a year or maybe 2 years. And her growth within her company, it's kind of not peaked. I wouldn't say it's peaked. She's hoping it's going to peak later on. But because of the, obviously because of the birth and the new child, and that she has been absent from her position for a period of time, then her salary is going to be pretty static over the next couple of years. So
I think, again, it depends, because I know so many people who've been actually promoted while being pregnant, who've actually been promoted as soon as they get back to the office after a baby. So this thing happens. And again, in terms of male versus female purchasing power, actually in the UK, less than 30, if you're between 20 and 30 years old, women earn more. So again, I think the majority of people, for sure, it's the woman who used to earn less, but things are changing, and having these kind of positive examples where actually it's not an issue having having a baby, being a mom. I think these empower people. And I think one of the main reason why maybe people won't dare taking another job or these kind of things is because of history. So if we have these kind of positive examples around us, it really makes us be willing to take opportunities. And again, there's no right or wrong answers. It really depends if you feel like it, if you want to, if you have energy, and so on and so forth.
I see. Because obviously, I mean, like you say, if you're a new couple, newish couple, you've obviously got your mortgage, your house or your rent, as whatever the case may be. And the new baby is, how much would you say, or is it too difficult to say, what proportion is added, to your expenses?
It's going to be too difficult for me to say, because it really depends on the country you live and even on the kind of salaries you have. But yeah, daycare especially is the big one. Daycare can be anything from 500 euros a month to 2000 plus. So it's definitely a huge expense. But again, it needs to be shared, because you're not the only one bearing.
So you're saying really it's an investment.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's really an investment. You will look at it as an investment. Okay, so your child moves on to school. Again, that's a personal choice, whether you'll send them to private education or whether they'll carry on in the public school system. Obviously, public school system is usually, in most countries, is free. and the private school system in most countries is very, very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. So let's jump ahead, just jump over the school and the high school.
Yeah, but I would actually say there's one thing that we haven't talked about on top of the equipment. So clearly when you have a baby, you need like a cot bed and changing mat, a buggy, whatever.
Of course.
So these things, of course, like, If it gets too overwhelmed, you can definitely get a list from your maternity center. At least they're going to be like very objective, and you can be either minimalist, saying, okay, I just need 4 of these. Let's go with that number and don't plan for more. And even if you want to lower your budget, you can definitely go secondhand, especially as a tiny baby. I mean, things go quickly. And the second thing, which is super important, is the health cost as well, which can cost a fortune. So again, once you're about to think about having a baby, or once you're actually pregnant, you need to check what are the public and private options. So it's a bit like school. Do you have an insurance? And if you have an insurance, are you eligible? Because sometimes you have insurance who have like maybe a year gap between when you subscribe and when you actually expense for pregnancy. So again, this is a good thing to look at.
I see. So you're saying the health insurance in general, health insurance policies or private health insurance policies, again, depending on the countries that you live in, you've got to make a plan for, you know, for being becoming pregnant.
Exactly.
So probably what we're saying is the three basic tips for financial planning for the baby is plan, or do you have three tips that you could possibly give us? Just three really important things that you, if there's anything that we've missed that you could add to, you know, for our listeners that they might ask.
Yeah, for me, first thing, awareness. You need to do some homework and look at what it costs. Second, discuss with your partner and include the couple in the decision. And third, definitely, plan for the future, because, it's expensive. And, €50 maybe a month is not necessarily a big commitment, but if you need to pay when the baby is actually 18, you need to pay, I don't know, thousands and tens of thousands of pounds. This is a different story.
Yeah, and also along the way, obviously, there's the activities, the child's activities, the horse riding and the table tennis and whatever. And these days, there's just so many activities. Any 5-year-old has an iPhone 14 these days, which is another quite a large expense for the parents. Mm-hmm. So sourcing information, where would you... Are we getting overload on Facebook and other groups? Where would you look for information? Where would you advise our listeners and our new moms and dads to look for financial information? Because financial information is not one that I would suggest to people to look on Facebook or Instagram.
No, I would probably just go on the internet to have like, five top tips to plan for birth, so these kind of things. And the more article you read, maybe you open 5 or 10 of them and you actually see that they all kind of explain the same things.
Intertwined.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would say for me, I got a baby just a year ago, so it really talks to me that.
Okay, so you can really talk from experience. You didn't tell us.
Yeah, no, exactly. So for me,
big mazel tov, you have a new baby. It's a young lady or a young gentleman?
Boy.
A young boy. Yeah. And so is he in the daycare at the moment?
Yeah.
Or
nursery. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, so for me, I had 1 or 2 friends only, because otherwise the more you ask, the more different views you're gonna get, and then the most lost you're going to be and overwhelmed.
You get confused and overwhelmed.
Exactly.
Especially when one has a new baby, but me having baby or for such a long period of time, it can become super confusing now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with this just a highway of information, and the more Google words, and this is a hit word, and that's a modern word, this is that, this hits you up. If you've got this word you put in, then you get 10,000 answers, and it just becomes, you know,
exactly,
just make you absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so you want definitely to avoid that at all costs and just have like one or two people that you're happy because they inspire you in some ways, or you like the relationship they have with their kids, or I don't know, whatever way they inspire you, just ask them the questions. So for me, I would have one or two.
They financially plan, or is it too out of date to ask your own parents if you have any? If you have your own, because they had a kind of different regime. They didn't really have this.
Exactly. So for me, it's maybe a bit outdated. I'm sure your parents can help you in lots of other ways, but definitely for planning and so on. I mean, it was such in a long time ago that, yeah, maybe you're better off either asking, one or two friends.
Maybe one of your co-workers, if you're working in an office or in a situation with other, you know, in people, you know, of your age that have had babies or having babies.
Just someone that inspires you. That's it. Yeah.
One more final question, which I want to ask. So when you actually go for example, for new employment, what kind of questions would you be asking? Financial questions connected with the future, with children, etc. What kind of, you know, when you go for your interview for the job, and when you're getting the job and you're discussing the contracts and the terms and the conditions, what kind of terms financially would you advise, you know, our clients to kind of look into or be informed about?
Mm-hmm. Super interesting question, to be honest. And I would say the first, probably most obvious, is definitely health insurance. Again, if you have a private health, it can really help, even though most of the public offers are pretty good. And I would probably say it's not financially, but if you need a bit of flexibility, maybe they offer like flexible working, that could be helpful too. There's lots of possibilities. Like I used to work in London for like an English bank. They used to provide kids vouchers for them to do some activities and so on and so forth. So if they have any benefits that targets kids, that's a good one.
We would say family benefits.
Exactly.
Family benefits.
Yeah.
Family benefits. So to actually, you know, when you're going to sign your contract, and make that one of your questions, you know, what are your family benefits, you know, and any kind of, we have like sickness. That's another question we didn't discuss. We'll just get them in very quickly at the end. Now, are you going to get paid if your child is sick, if it's not you that's actually sick? You know, if you've got to stay at home for a sick child. Now, how does that financially, you know, or do you have to individually, do you have to negotiate with your company for that one?
So again, depends on countries and not even on countries, but sometimes on companies too. So there's no answers. It can vary.
There's no one answer.
Exactly.
There's no one universal answer.
Exactly.
One fits. So
yeah,
you've just got to make an inquiry of where you're going to be working. You know, what is the situation? Because often, if the child is sick, or if the child is sick in school, usually the phone call comes to the mum at her place of work rather than the dad at his place of work. It's just the way it still is. It's not quite evenly balanced anymore. So, on that one,
because I didn't want to be in that situation, actually, my husband actually put his number for the nursery.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear
it. So there's lots of ways, actually, because, yeah, it's proved that the nursery would probably think twice before calling a father rather than a mum, whereas, I mean, it's the same kid. There's lots of ways around it. And again, depends on your couple. Depends if you want to be equal and so on.
And I'm absolutely delighted that you were with us today on Baby Hour. Where can we find you, Marika, please?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Marika Fino. So it's Marie and K-A attached. Fino, F-I-N-O-T. And I also have a podcast, which is called Money Chill Out, which is available on Spotify and Apple, where we open up the subject of money and investments every 2 weeks.
Wow. Thank you ever so much for being with us today, Marika. And I hope you're going to join us again very soon.
Yeah, thanks. It was a pleasure. Thanks for inviting.
And maybe you'll bring in your little visitor and you'll tell us how it's getting on and how much it's costing you.
Exactly. Could be.
Excellent. Thanks again for being with us today. You're tuned to Baby Hour. And thanks again. Keep with us. We've got interesting guest specialists from all over the world every other week. Stay tuned to Baby Hour. Thanks again. Take care of yourselves. I was Carolyn M. See you again very, very soon. Bye and thanks.
This is Baby Hour, radio for parenting.